In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, life is really pretty simple. Living it is difficult, but in principle, it's very simple. God is simple. God is love. God created us so that we could be loved by Him and we could love Him. Pure and simple. It's the whole purpose of life, is to be loved by God and for us to love Him and to have union with Him. That's it. It's the reason we were born, every single one of us. So it is very simple. But as you know, life gets very complex. It gets very difficult. Virtue is simple, but sin is very complex. Sin gets you in a lot of difficult conditions, very knotty situations. We all know what it's like. Life and sin and passions, they're not simple. But fundamentally, life is meant to be simple. We are to know God. He loves us. We are to love Him. As St. John says, we love Him because He first loved us. And for us to have union with Him and perfection and happiness. That's what we were created for, every single one of us. That's our purpose. But there's a problem that had to be solved. Man, who was created in simplicity, created to become perfect and holy, sinned. And with sin came stupidity, and came dissolution, and came impermanence, and came suffering and death. And God couldn't bear to see that occur, because He created us to know Him. Because He loves us. And love always has an object that they love. God loves us and wants us to be with Him permanently and perfectly. But with sin, we cannot be with Him permanently or perfectly. Even if God brought us into His presence with sin in our hearts, even if He did that, it would destroy us. Because sin cannot bear to be in the presence of God in perfection. It's not because of punishment, as some in the West might speak of it. It is because we are fragmented and broken people with sin. So Jesus Christ came into the world, became a man, with all of the problems of being a man, except that He did not sin. That's sort of a loose paraphrase of what St. Paul says in Hebrews. So Jesus Christ lived the entire life that we should live. And He also lived the life that we were living and triumphed over it. And part of that was that He died on the cross. In fact, really, I shouldn't say part of it, really, all of it. Except, of course, He also was tempted, just as we were tempted, but He never sinned. See, we tend to think of temptation as when you want to do something and maybe you don't do it. Temptation is actually when the opportunity to do something arises, but you don't do it. Or being above temptation is when you don't do it. So our Lord had the opportunity to do everything that we could do and that we do, and yet He did not. But the other greatest aspect of Him living the life of being a human being is that He died. He died on the cross for our sake, not so that we would be forgiven, so that we would be healed. That was His purpose, because sin brings about death. And you should be able to feel it. I hope you understand it. I hope you understand in your life that when you're angry, do you feel death in you? I do. Isn't there something wrong when you're angry? Things are just not correct. Your life force is just altered. Do you feel that? I hope you do. Or when you're jealous, or when you have lustful thoughts or judgment in your heart, or are feeling lazy or depressed, or name just about any sin. It's hard to name them all. The virtues are simple. There's not that many. Sins, there are thousands. But don't you feel death in you when you have sin in your heart? that sort of dissolutionness, I just made up a word actually, didn't it? Being dissolved into something that's imperfect and unholy and feeling disconnected with God. Do you feel that? As your pastor, I hope you do. Because if you don't feel that, I am not sure that you will understand and desire to cleave to God with all of your heart. Because we need God with all of our hearts. And so, Jesus Christ died so that we could become alive. And that's why we spend so much time in front of the tomb. That's why we stand in front of it, we bow before it, we prostrate before it, tonight we're gonna sing in a semicircle around it. But all of our hymns will be about death and life and resurrection and the life that comes from death. That's what you should be thinking about when you're before the tomb. And by thinking about, I don't mean that you should try to say, what did Father Seraphim say I should think about when you're before the tomb? No, it should be in your heart that you're not alive without God. And every time we sin, it's as if we lose some of our life. But God can bring it all back. Because all we need to do is cleave to Him and desire Him. And He chose something that was terrible and horrible and disrespected by all the world to show that there was no place that He would not descend to find a suffering human soul. That's why He chose the cross. St. Paul talks about it. Did you hear it? It was just read a few minutes ago. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how there are not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, so that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So the cross is base, and death is base. But our Lord, when He died, He did not allow Himself to suffer corruption. People thought He was corrupting in the grave, but He was not. Instead, His soul, being a human soul as well as having divinity within Him, His human soul, united with His divinity, went down into Hades and broke the bars of Hades and destroyed death, destroyed the power of death over us. But I tell you again, you must feel death in your heart if you are to become truly alive. You must understand that there are things that you do that make you more dead than alive. And you must desire to be rid of those things, all of them. The anger, the thinking bad thoughts about people, the judgment of others, all that stuff. It's in our hearts. That's death. But God died so that we could have life. So when we gather around the tomb, let us remember that because of the tomb in which our Lord was in, because of that tomb, the death that is in us can become life. But it doesn't happen just by snapping our fingers. It's not any kind of magic. It is where the heart desires to be with God. And I think our hymns really help in that way. When you hear our beautiful hymns sung in a beautiful plaintive melody, they should pierce to your heart. Now, maybe not all of them will, because after all, there's death in our hearts sometimes. We don't always listen. We don't hear everything. But hopefully something t- touches you today and makes you desire to follow God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your being. Because following God is the only way to life. We were born to know Him. So now as we stand before the tomb, let us remember what we were born for. We were born for life. And let's also remember that there still is in us death working. And we don't want to have any death in us. So we must cleave evermore to Jesus Christ. And He will expunge all of the death. And there will be only life. That was the purpose of the incarnation, and we should remember it. Amen.